Our text for today is from our gospel, Matthew chapter 11, verse 6, which reads as follows. Jesus said, "Blessed is the one who is not offended by me." In the name of Jesus. Amen. Boy, to be offended, do you know anything about that? Had someone recently say something to you, could have been a comment, could have been a diatribe, could have been a text, could have been an email, could have been something that they did and you were greatly offended. Now, throughout our culture, we certainly have what's known as shock jocks. The first name that comes to mind, I don't think he's near as popular as he used to be, is Howard Stern. To say things, to deal with things without any type of filter on your mouth and just shock you into, whoa, I can't believe he just said that. Now, we kind of just came through an election cycle. I'm sure you're aware of that, right? And we had a little bit of the same thing being done by all the candidates. Certain things that were said to get a rise out of the other or to get a rise out of you, the voters. Offense, I would submit to you today, is something that's easily given and something that's easily received. Matter of fact, I would bet that you're a little bit like me and probably most people. You've got thin skin, don't you? You may have somebody say something to you, say something in general, and you are easily offended. You may not show it necessarily. You may bury it deep down. You may lash out at other people, but nonetheless, offense is given, offense is received. Jesus talks about offense in this way in our gospel text. And it's kind of ironic, at least I think it is, that this text has historically been used here in the third Sunday of Advent. I mean, after all the Christmas tunes are playing on the radio. We finally went to go get our Christmas tree yesterday. It was the first two-hour window we had on a weekend that we could all get away to do that. And I turned to my wife and I said, are there any radio stations playing Christmas music yet? And she goes, well, I haven't heard any yet. And so sure enough, flipped through the dial and there was one. Christmas music all over the airwaves. And you would assume that all of our texts for this time of Advent would be Christmassy, right? They'd be nice and peaceful, but to think and talk about offense, I mean, come on. But therein lies the irony of it all. You'll notice there on the front of the Advent wreath, you see the word joy. There's four different words all the way around, and to be fair, any of those four words could really be used for any of the four Sundays, but we pretty much know where this Sunday falls, the third Sunday in Advent. It's known as Gaudet, the Latin term for joy. And that comes from our intro it that we sang earlier. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. So joy. Joy comes from God, and joy comes as well from being reasonable, which doesn't fit very well with being offended, does it? Because if somebody says something or does something to you or just has no filter on their mouth and you're like, oh my, I can't believe they said that. The last thing you're probably willing to do is to be reasonable about it, right? You're probably fit to be tied. You're ready to deal with the situation. And this happens as parents with children. They do something and instead of being reasonable and patient, I know all about this because I do it often. I need to work on it. You lash out at them immediately. You yell, you scream, you inflict punishment that they may not deserve. Sometimes they do, maybe. But reasonable, what does it mean? Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. As a young boy, I grew up in the back of a Volkswagen van. Not literally, we had a house. But my mom was on a traveling music team, Lutheran Youth Encounter, and they would travel around spreading joy and peace and love. This is all part of the Jesus movement in the late 60s, early 70s. And they would travel around to various Lutheran congregations and parishes and do special type of music that wouldn't normally be done in the service itself. Well, for better or for worse, there was this silly song that they would always sing that still remains stuck in my head to this day. Perhaps you've heard it. I want to share it with you. Is that okay? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Have you heard that? I see some of you singing along. And then you just keep singing it, and you sing it in rounds, and it keeps going. And it's just kind of one of those songs that never end. You never get around to really talking about where the joy comes from, but you're supposed to be joyful because you're singing about joy. So is that how it works? Just be joyful and then you'll be filled with joy? I think there's a little bit more to it than that, which is why in our gospel text for today, we have this figure of John the Baptist. We hear a lot about him during the time of Advent. And remember, Advent literally means, Latin word for coming. The coming of Jesus, of course, at Christmas as a baby in a manger. The coming of Jesus as he entered Jerusalem, not to be a conquering king or establish an earthly kingdom, but rather to go to the cross for your sins and mine. Jesus who comes as well in and with and through his bride, the church, through the reading of his word, the preaching of it. Jesus who is with you in your baptism, Jesus who comes in simple bread and wine that is body and blood, his body and blood, to feed you, to be with you. And Jesus, of course, who will return one day, on the day of judgment, the day of resurrection. It's all about coming. And John the Baptist now is, we're told from Scripture, the last and greatest prophet. He is the one, as Jesus said, who is to come, who has been sent, the messenger who will prepare now your way. So how does John the Baptist prepare your way? Good question. Thanks for asking. In our text for today, we see John in prison. John's been arrested for teaching, preaching, and proclaiming that Jesus is the Messiah. There's also some politics going on with the current Herod family at the time. But regardless, John is in prison. And he continues to hear about what Jesus has been doing. Now, scholars and exegetes alike really wrestle with the first part of our gospel text for tonight, where John asks, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" Some speculate that perhaps John never really had faith in Jesus, and he's still questioning whether or not this Jesus is the Messiah. Most exegetes or scholars see this as kind of a rhetorical question, a way of John sending his disciples to Jesus because he's about to die and they need to hear and receive the message, salvation, forgiveness of sins, and life from Jesus himself. So John says, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" Now keep in mind, this is the same John who, when he's in his mother's tummy, do you remember this story? Leaps for joy. Now, our culture today says that human life is really only viable when it can live on its own. Our culture today teaches us that your life is only good if you are contributing in some way, shape, or form, or able to do things, but Scripture says much differently. John the Baptist, you may remember, is not only a baby in his mother Elizabeth's womb, but when Mary, her cousin, comes to visit her to tell her that she's now pregnant, and quite a story she had, because she hadn't been with a man. She was pregnant by the Holy Spirit, a virgin birth. Boy, the discussions that Elizabeth and Mary must have had around their cups of coffee. But regardless, as Mary comes to tell Elizabeth this great news that has been given to her, that which has been done to her by the angels, by God himself, as she's sharing this, John, the baby in the womb, leaps for joy. Life is so precious. And how important for our little ones to hear that same word of God, that they too may experience the same kind of joy, not because of any ability on their own, but because of the power of God's word. This is the same word in Isaiah 40 where we talk about comfort. Where does comfort come from? And so when you are offended, when somebody has offended you, this is exactly where you need to train your heart and your mind. Where are you going to find comfort and peace and joy in the midst of the situation? Well, the first place is in the word of our God. For the word of our God will stand forever. The word of our God will always at last, whatever petty feuds we have between each other or amongst each other, those things that are done or not done. The word of God transcends all offense. And so Jesus tells these disciples who come from John, he tells them, you go and tell John what you hear and see, which is really what the church is given to do, to tell what Jesus has done and continues to do, of how blind receive their sight, of people who are spiritually dead now see, that in the midst of all the things done, there is always joy, there's always comfort. The lame walk, lepers cleansed, deaf hear, dead are raised up, the poor have good news preached to them. And then Jesus closes with this, and blessed is the one who is not offended by me. So how about it? Are you offended by Jesus? Are there times that you would like to pray, but you don't do so because you're afraid of what others around you might think? Do you hold your tongue from time to time as a Christian when you're in a crowd of others who really care not for his word or have different opinions? And you say, well, I'm not going to offend anybody with what I may think, although they are freely sharing their opinions. I think there's many ways that all of us, sometimes both small and big, I think that all of us in different ways are offended by Jesus. And he says, blessed is the one who is not offended. Which brings us, of course, to the ultimate offense that takes place throughout all of human history. The ultimate offense that God himself would have to die upon the cross. That God the Father himself would give up his only begotten Son to die on the cross for you. That is offensive. That God would die, and that one would die for all, rather than giving each of you the opportunity to save yourselves. How offensive that somebody would go and save me when I didn't even ask to be saved. But there it is. There he is. Christ, who hangs upon the cross, ridiculed, scorned, stripped down naked, ultimate shame, a crown of thorns pressed upon his head, and he hangs and bleeds and dies. And guess what? Jesus is not offended by all this. Instead, as we've been learning in our midweek Advent series, Jesus from the cross prays for you. He prays for you. As he hangs and bleeds and sheds his perfect blood, which covers over all your sins, with which you are robed in holy baptism, robed with his righteousness. He's not offended as you and I easily are. Rather, he does the will of the Father. He willingly, like a lamb to the slaughter, allows himself to be sacrificed, that you might now have forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation, and that you might have joy. Joy, which true joy is knowing that you are in a good place, of knowing that all things will be okay. And so when others do offend you, say things against you, when your own sins threaten you, you have the promise that the word of our God stands forever, just as Christ himself, resurrected from the dead, stands today. And so you worry not about what others may judge you by. You worry about your standing with the Lord. Which is why Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 4. This is how one should regard us. He's speaking of those now who are serving in the church, especially pastors, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries, the mystereon, Latin word is sacrament, stewards of the sacraments of God. Moreover, he said, it's required of stewards they be found trustworthy. But then he goes on, but with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by any human court. In fact, Paul says, I do not even judge myself. I'm not aware of anything, but I'm not thereby acquitted. It is the Lord who judges me. So speaking of offense, look to the Lord. Examine your life on your own before God, and therein you will find the power to withstand not only the assaults of the devil, but those around you. Just as John withstood the same assaults. John the Baptist, which is why Jesus says, what did you go out into the wilderness to see? You see, John the Baptist was a little bit of a shock jock, perhaps not intentionally, but he wore crazy clothing with camel's hair, and he ate locusts and wild honey, and for a lot of people, well, this was just kind of a Howard Stern kind of moment. Can you believe what he's doing? But for others, they truly heard what he said, that he was preparing the way for the Messiah who was to come, the one whereby forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation, the one whereby true joy would come. And so Jesus asked the question, who do you go out to see? Why do you come to church? How is it that you are a Christian, and what does this mean for your life? All good questions for us to reflect upon in the midst of our life, in the midst of the preparation for the way Christ has come to us and will come again. And all of this is tied up now in the meaning for us of both Advent and Christmas, that Christ has come and will come again. And then in the midst of busy, hectic schedules and seasons, in the midst of offenses easily given and easily received, there is always true joy, which comes from Christ. Christ, who is not offended by you, for your sins have been covered and washed away by his very blood. As the choir sang earlier, may we as such be Christians who are bold, who are strong, who are willing to stand in this life as John the Baptist stood for that same faith, to stand and to pray and to share God's word and to believe that our Lord is always at work. And in so doing, may this give us the courage we need to face each day, even until the day of the resurrection, the final judgment. For you in Christ have been judged already, your sins paid for by Christ, and that sacrifice accepted by your Father in heaven. May we not be offended by these things, but be bold in our profession and in our witness and our service to our neighbor. God grant us this in the name of Jesus. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.